This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
This is Ray.
This is Jax.
This is Dean.
And this is the Rach Jackson Dean Podcast.
Sound really chipper. That's weird.
Joy 94.9.
You're with Rach Jackson Dean for the drive home. It's Tuesday afternoon and it's time for...
It's not J Law. It's not J Lo. It's Joy Law. Dun, dun.
That is a very serious intro. We do actually have quite a serious topic to talk about today. We are joined, as per usual, by Christina. And today we have the big boss joining us.
The big head honcho.
This is Monica. Welcome to Joy, Monica.
Thanks for having me.
Give a round of applause for the big boss. There you go.
So today we're going to have a little bit of a chat about family violence and your involvement in, dealing with family violence issues that occur. Just get ourselves a little bit educated.
Yeah, look, we thought given everything that's been happening in the media around violence against women as well, it was really topical. And we're also sponsoring a major national conference next week, which is the
Stop Domestic Violence Conference.
That's the one. We thought Monica does a lot of work within that space and we thought it'd be great to have her expertise on today.
So it's an area where at KHQ we're very passionate about, and it's something as family lawyers we sort of face on a daily basis. The statistics around family violence are actually frightening. Currently we're losing one life a week to family violence.
Is that right?
One life a week. One in four Australian women experience family violence in their intimate relationships. There are children present in one out of every three family violence cases reported to police. So it's quite extensive.
It's just not okay, is it?
No. And one third of our homeless population in Victoria are escaping family violence. So statistics show that victims are most at risk in the period leading up to and immediately following separation. Although there's evidence that men are overwhelmingly more likely than women to be the perpetrators of family violence, but men are also experiencing family violence. Many of the male victims of intimate partner violence are in same-sex relationships. For example, one of the largest surveys of LGBTI people ever conducted, which is known as the Private Lives Study, found that of the 33% of participants who'd experienced intimate partner abuse, 28% were men.
Women, it's massive.
So when we talk about family violence, what are we talking about?
So family violence is when someone behaves abusively towards a family member. It's a pattern of behaviour that controls or dominates a person and causes them to fear for their own safety or someone else's safety and
well-being. So it doesn't necessarily have to be physical violence. It could be in other forms.
And that's the point, yeah, because a lot of people think, oh, family violence, you have to be black and blue, but that's really not the case. And there's been so much change to legislation to really incorporate all the different forms that you can experience violence, that ensures that, even things such as you can't threaten to kill yourself to your partner if they want to leave you, that's a form of family violence.
Oh, wow. So sort of emotional manipulation, or even like financial abuse I've heard of as well.
Yeah.
One of the most common things that occur in partners when they're separating, if you have a financially superior spouse, often they respond with controlling behaviour around money.
Or like withholding the money.
Withholding the money or isolating, them from their friends and family and just making them very dependent. So that kind of behaviour is very common in
separation.
I've
also heard the example of with ageing parents or older people.
Elder abuse, absolutely.
Yeah, and sometimes that takes a financial element to it as well.
Absolutely. Yeah, there's been a number of cases that we've run on behalf of elderly people because there's been, for example, one child that wants more of the inheritance, so they've gotten mum or dad to go off and sign a will that's more favourable to them. And obviously you've got to get an intervention in order to stop that from happening. So it's pretty sad stuff.
Wow. So what do I do if I'm being subjected to domestic violence?
Look, there's so many different forms of abuse. If it's really serious and you're in danger, the easiest thing is to call 000. That's your first port of call. If you're not in imminent danger at that time, go to the police anyway, whether it's that night or the following day, and contact a lawyer, because a lot of people think, oh, I'll just go to the police and that's fine. But a lot of the time, the police, they're under-resourced. They can't take every matter on your behalf to court. And people often arrive at court and they say, oh, we can't help you today, or it's not as urgent. But if you go to a lawyer and they probably draft the application, which is what needs to happen in order to apply for an intervention order at your local magistrate's court, they can get you in, we can make an appointment. It's all really important in terms of the timing of getting the intervention order, especially if you're separating, you want to leave that relationship. It's probably the most crucial time, I'd say, Mon, in our clients' matters.
Absolutely. So statistics show that you're most at risk, either before you leave or after you leave.
And I suspect for some people who are LGBTI identifying, who are in relationships, that might be experiencing some difficulty, the idea of going to police might be a bit confronting.
Hugely. And we're really lucky to have at Victoria Police our gay and lesbian liaison officers, you know, our GLOWs, and they're brilliant. I've had so many clients who, through various stations, have said, oh, look, I wasn't helped, they didn't take me seriously, especially if they're female, they're in a same-sex relationship. As soon as I get the GLOWs involved, it is just, they just take it and they run with it and they help like there's no tomorrow. It's fantastic.
Don't the GLOWs do a great job?
I love the GLOWs.
Gabby and the team.
Gabby Tyack.
Yes, love Gabby.
Yes, I know, they're great.
Hey, we're talking to the team from KHQ Lawyers. It's Chris and it's Monica. We're talking about family violence, a bit of a serious topic. We're going to listen to a track. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about how to go about getting an intervention order if that's the situation you find yourself in. We're talking to the team from KHQ Lawyers. It's Monica and it's Chris, and we're talking about family violence today, a very serious topic, and unfortunately one that is something that's faced by many members of our community. And we're talking earlier that family violence can take many forms. It can be physical violence,
yep,
or it could be emotional, or it could be financial violence.
Yeah.
So if someone does find themselves in that situation and they do make their way either to a lawyer's office or to the police, what are the avenues available to them?
So one of the first things you do is make an appointment to attend a magistrate's court and go through the process of obtaining and applying for an intervention order. So you have to make the appointment, attend, complete a very detailed form setting out the basis of why you need the order. It's really important, if you can, to get legal advice, because what you put into that order becomes the basis of the entire case, and it can be a legal case that is ongoing for up to 12 months.
Do you have to go straight to court, or is there any sort of mediation beforehand?
No, straight to court. It's about people's safety, so you really don't mess around.
So generally speaking, the perpetrator is not present at court on that first day.
Well, I was going to ask you, it could be really quite intimidating.
Yeah, so they've got no idea that they're there, that you're there. They are not present. If the order is made, it then goes off to the police, and it actually isn't served straight away. So there is an element of risk in between the time you get the order to the time that they're served.
Well, is there a difference between an intervention order and an AVIO, which was like an apprehensive violence order?
There's different names? They're all state-based,
yep.
So they're different in each state. They've got different names, so you might have brought it from another state. But in Victoria, we call them intervention orders.
And it's like a restraining order.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So
same
keep
thing.
Away from me, keep it some distance. Or
what's amazing is that in the past, as of 2 days ago being the past, you had to reapply for an order in another state if you had a Victorian intervention order. As of the 25th of November, it's now nationwide. So your intervention order is recognised in every other state and territory of Australia.
That would be a huge relief for people, I imagine.
Yeah, I just think it's so much better, because we know we've spoken in the past about laws being state to state, territory to territory, and it's been just, you can't moderate it. And now, with this scheme that's come in, it's fantastic for victims of family violence.
How about, I'm just going to be, I'll choose my words carefully here, but you've just said someone can go to court and get an intervention order and the perpetrator is unaware of this happening. What if a perpetrator was to have their say as well? How did they have their... I assume they still have rights. I assume that there's a right of reply or...
So the process is, once you fill in the application, you actually give evidence to the magistrate about why you need the order, and then the decision is made if the order is granted or not. And then as part of those orders, there's a further hearing date. And that's the date where the perpetrator can attend and present their side of the story. So they do have... It's usually in about 2 weeks after the original...
They do get their day in court.
They do get their day in court. Having said that, it's a really busy list, and most of the time the orders, unless resolved, remain in place.
Yeah.
And they can remain in place until there's a final hearing, and then from that point on they usually remain in place for at least 12 months.
And I imagine if you are experiencing family violence and you do go down this avenue and you do get the AVO, it's unlikely you're going to move back into the house.
So this is where I think lawyers can really make a difference, and it's one of the things Christina and I are presenting on at this conference. If we can meet with a client before they separate and we can get that intervention order before the separation occurs, we can ensure they stay in the home. And if there's children involved, that's really important that the children aren't uprooted from their schools and their support networks. We can also ensure that we serve the order before the police do, because sometimes the police take up to 2 or 3 days to serve
even
the perpetrator.
Yeah.
So we can imminently serve the perpetrator, make sure they don't get back into the home. And then by doing that, we can sort of set up the rest of the separation. We can make arrangements for time with children, try and organise the interim property and financial aspects. But most importantly, just keep the family safe.
I think that's the number one thing, safety.
Yeah. And the other important thing is once the perpetrator is out of the home, you can get organised people to do a full risk assessment of the home. They can put in floodlights, change locks on doors, do all of that. And there are a number of ways that can be done through organisations in Victoria that are subsidised by the government. So even though it might be they may not have the means to do all of these things, it's actually not that expensive to protect you and your children.
So if you had one message for someone who's listening in today and who may be experiencing family violence, what would it be?
Protect yourself and your family first and foremost. Don't hesitate. The laws are here to protect you. We're here to help as lawyers. We want to help. And you just don't risk your life or your safety.
No.
And family violence is subjective. It is different to everybody and it can take different forms. But I think you know when your life's at risk and you shouldn't hesitate to get help.
Absolutely. And certainly if you are reaching out to the police, be sure to ask for a GLOW.
Exactly.
The Gay Liaison Officers. Thank you so much for your time, Monica and Chris.
Thanks,
we look
guys.
Forward to seeing you again
Thank
next
you.
Week with, for KHQ Lawyers.
KHQ Lawyers offer family law advice for the LGBTI community that you can trust.
Our team has expertise in all areas of law relating to rainbow families, including surrogacy, sperm and egg donation agreements, adoption, arrangements for co-parenting and children after separation, and property settlements, including financial agreements.
We provide a free 30-minute consultation and adopt a flexible approach to billing, offering fixed fee arrangements and upfront estimates to suit your requirements.
Find out more and get in touch at khq.com.au. KHQ Lawyers are a proud Joy sponsor.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.